Let's read the first three verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, you follow along. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we pray that as we study this passage today, that we might heed the warning that's here in the Scriptures, that your Holy Spirit has put in the pages here for us to pay attention to, and so that no one would rob us from the liberty that we have in Christ. So we pray today that we might be enlightened and warned and liberated if we're already entrapped. And we thank you, Father, for your holy word that is indeed a light to our pathway. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. We introduced the chapter, as I said, last week, and actually we're looking at the first seven verses, but really we introduced it and began to look at the warning in verse 2 last time, and we're not going to get past verse 2 today. There's a warning there about three different groups of people. In verse 1, when Paul the Apostle says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord," he directs our attention to where we're to rejoice, and people would rob us of that rejoicing in the Lord by stopping us from appreciating or valuing or knowing what it is that we have in the Lord. So he focuses us to rejoice in the Lord, and then he makes that statement, "To write the same things to you, for me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It is interesting that our Sunday school hour, we've been talking last week, And this week, and we didn't quite finish, so we'll continue it next week, as we're talking about how we got our Bible, is we're seeing from the Bible itself that there is an apostasy, even in the age of grace, at the end of Paul's life, just prior to his death, that he warns us it was coming and it came, and that there's a great apostasy. And so we're looking and seeing that God has at least still is alive in the church of the living God and actively working in the godly believers throughout the dark ages. And that he promised that in that time when there's darkness and lies and deception, that the truth of God's word would be there to be the truth so that we would know what truth is. And you'll see how that in Sunday school, how that leads us to believe the Bible that we have in our hands. The King James Version is an accurate, reliable translation, the very word of God for English-speaking people. But here, you know, we're also got another warning. It's almost like I'm duplicating some of our Sunday school study, because here there's a beware of three different groups of people, and we'll look close at each of those three groups. But verse 1 is still true. "For me it's not grievous, but for you it is safe." That the warnings that the Scriptures give us about these things that we need, it's not grievous to go over it a second time, to go over it again and again, because we better heed the warning, because the warnings are not just filler in the Bible. They're not just possibilities that might come into your life. They're realities that's all around us. And when he says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision," it's like, three times, beware, 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 and Christians will go right past that verse and move on to study something else without stopping and realizing. He said beware three times, used three different illustrations there. He called one group dogs, he called the other evil workers, he calls the third one concision. And that we can study our Bible and find out what those three are and really take this warning seriously. And if we don't take it seriously, well, we're going to be duped by the dogs, by the evil workers, or by the concision. I was even thinking about, you know, all Scripture given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, but given by inspiration. Holy men of God, removed by the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul wrote those words, dogs, evil workers, concision. I'm thinking, in one sense, I wonder what, in his mind, did he think these people immediately knew what these terms mean? But, you know, it doesn't matter what Paul thought. The Holy Spirit knew he was putting down a Bible that when he put a word like dogs, that you could search the Bible and figure out what he's warning you about. It's written more for you than just the Philippian saints. Of course, the Philippian saints would eventually have a Bible too, and they could search those things out. Dogs, they probably didn't have much of a problem with. Some of the other things, they might have had to do a little searching. But the point is that when God gave us the Bible, the Holy Spirit wrote these words. They're particular words because the words describe not only what you need to be warned of, but how those people are going to be acting. For instance, we've already studied about beware of dogs. And the first thing you understand is dogs is a reference in the Bible when it comes to beings to Gentiles. But also in the verses just about the animal dogs in the Bible is all about devouring. And usually eating human flesh. And so you realize that the warning here is about Gentile religion. The last thing we looked at is the woman Jezebel who infiltrated into the northern 10 tribes of Israel through marriage and taught the northern 10 tribes to worship Baal. Gentile idolatry introduced into the nation of Israel. So when it says beware of dogs, you're talking about the Gentile religion. And you're talking about how that religion will devour you. And we looked at those verses to get that warning. And when we talk about Gentile religions, even though we're leaving that and moving on, don't forget where Gentile religion comes from. You talk about repeating things. That's exactly what we studied in Acts chapter 17 this week, which took us back to the Tower of Babel, where the Gentiles, the way it's said in the book of Romans, they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the image of a corruptible man. Changed the glory of God into an image like unto corruptible man, to four-footed beasts and creeping things. When it says they became vain in their imagination, see, the word Gentiles means nations, and you got the imagination, image, and nation. What did the Gentiles worship? Well, they became vain in their imagination. They invented their own worship. Just came out of their own minds. So when we're being warned about Gentile religion in that verse that is going to enslave and devour you, you're talking about religion that Gentiles just make up out of their head, just come out of their head and claim it to be of God and pass it along. And even though there's two other groups in here, Gentile, that's the nations. That's been spread around the world since the Tower of Babel. That's the darkness that the world was in when God raised up the nation of Israel to give them the truth, to be a light to us Gentiles. But that lie has just filtered, it just multiplied lies throughout the world. You know, when you say you got the truth, and people say, oh, that means all the other religions are wrong, yes. Sometimes even you hear a good man being interviewed on the radio and say, well, then you're saying that anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ is going to hell. And they're afraid to say, yes. I haven't heard one yet. Just say, oh, absolutely, I believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus Christ said so. But anyhow, the point to you is the warning of Gentile religion there that's going to devour you. And the very source of Gentile religion is just the imagination of man. Just came out of his head. No source, no reality, no authority behind it. So beware of dogs. Now we want to move on because there's two other groups there. There's three total. There's two other groups that we want to look at. And the next one, it says, beware of evil workers. Now, when it says beware of evil workers, boy, the scripture is full of these warnings. But let's start this way. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. It's the book before Philippians. And just so you really only have to turn a couple pages back to the left. And Ephesians chapter 6 gives us a warning. And when we talk about evil workers, you get an idea of what evil works he has in mind. He says in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that's tricks. The devil is, we're at a warfare. He's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. Because when we're up against Satan, there's the tricks of the devil. We know he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's also a counterfeiter. So that when you talk about beware of evil workers, certainly they're workers of iniquity, they're workers of Satan. It says, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The evil day is a day in which Satan has permeated the world with his lie. And you're standing in the midst of all the deception of Satan. And in that evil day, the thing that's going to be able to not only make you stand and not be deceived by the devil, but also able to advance the truth in the evil day is by putting on the whole armor of God. And it starts out by telling you to stand having your loins girded about with truth. So the evil day is coming, but the truth is going to be there, and you gird yourself, you wrap yourself in the truth of God's word, and it's going to protect you from all the lies of the devil. But the evil workers would be those that Satan is using to deceive the world. And there is a spiritual warfare out there. Now, there's a sense in which you say, well, isn't that the Gentile idolatry? Well, yes, there's a sense in that, but see, Gentile idolatry, they didn't need the devil, they just did it on their own. Right? I mean, some guy makes up imagination out of his own head and permeates it, and he's got a religion, he's got a following, and a bunch of people heeding whatever he said or wrote, and they're just following him. But there is an evil being out to deceive you. There is Satan, who is out to destroy the truth of God and to enslave people in his lies, and to make him, his goal is to be worshipped as the Most High God. And so he'll use the Gentiles, but Gentiles, they're pretty bad on their own. But Satan's out there, and he's got his lie program, so there is an evil day, and there's evil workers out there in the evil day. Now come with me to Matthew chapter 7. And I warn you before I read the verse that we're going to read the verse. Jesus Christ is going to say it. I'm just going to emphasize what he's saying, because I don't think we take the warnings of the Scripture serious enough. The Lord Jesus Christ, this is the kingdom program, and you know, Satan works in both programs. He's certainly working in the program today, but as we talk about how Satan operates and works and what are evil workers, notice this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord," now this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, in the kingdom program, Jesus Christ has come to fulfill the promises made unto the fathers and establish his kingdom on this earth that was promised to David, that he would sit upon his throne in the land promised to Abraham with the nation of Israel that's going to be his holy nation that's going to rule with him in the earth. So Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to establish that kingdom of heaven on the earth. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." But even when that program's going on, the Lord warned that everybody who calls me Lord is not going into the kingdom of heaven. "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Now those sound like good things, don't they? But watch the next verse. "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Wow. Now, I always knew the passage that there's phonies, and they said, you know, "We've called you Lord, and we've mimicked all the things that Christians do. We counterfeit the things that were going on in the kingdom program, and the Lord's going to say, I never knew you. You never were believers. You didn't do the will of my Father. You didn't believe I was Jesus the Christ. You just came along as a pretender and a counterfeiter, and I know who my people are, and you're not one of my people. I never knew you." But not only you say, "I never knew you," it says, "ye that work iniquity." Be, Beware of evil beware of evil workers. Well, workers of iniquity, that would be an evil worker, wouldn't it? Amen. And what did the evil worker do? Set up dope houses, beer gardens, draw people away, houses of ill repute. Is that the right word? Anyhow, just all kinds of low-life places. No, the workers of iniquity, they were prophesying. They in the name of Jesus Christ. They were casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. They were doing many wonderful works. Now, sometimes I look at that wonderful works, and it doesn't just say they were doing good deeds. Wonderful works, sometimes the word wonderful has to do with wonders. And, you know, wonderful is like, wow, look what they're doing. That's wonderful. And they didn't just do a few of them. They did a lot of them. And the Lord said they were workers of iniquity. Now, applying that in the day in which we live, now that has to do with the kingdom program, but Satan didn't take any time off in the age of grace. In Sunday school, we were talking about the verse that says, in 1 Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God living in the believer today, manifesting his presence in the earth today in the believer. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul talks about the gospel of grace that was given to him. The doctrine of grace is the doctrine according to godliness. God, by his Spirit and the truth of his grace, can produce godliness in the believer. And God is alive and well, living in the church of the living God. That's the mystery of godliness. Then you get over to 2 Thessalonians, and it says, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In the age of grace, Satan is operating quite well today. Just like God is alive and well on planet Earth, Satan's mystery of iniquity, his secret working against God, is at work today. So Satan didn't take a day off in the age of grace. He's working back here, and he just changed from attacking the kingdom program to attacking the mystery of godliness in the age of grace. He's attacking the doctrine of grace in the age of grace, and it's called the mystery of iniquity. But here, these people prophesy, say they prophesy in God's name. You know, if it's true, and it is, that the Bible is complete and perfect and closed, God's not speaking through man anymore. Nobody professing to be a prophet is speaking the Word of God today. Amen. They're professing to speak the Word of God today, but God has spoken. He said all that He's going to say to us in the Bible, written down, closed, and you're not to add to or take from. So that means every person who stands up on a TV show or in a pulpit somewhere and prophesies in the name of Jesus Christ, Paul says to you, beware of evil workers. Amen. You don't look at them as evil, do you? You say, well, he's just a good guy, just kind of off a little bit. And not mentally, I mean just off doctrinally, you think. But if Jesus Christ is not speaking, that man's a liar. And he is an evil worker, casting out devils. Ministries of casting out devils, exorcism, doing it in the name of Jesus. Got the cross, got the blood, got water, whatever else they want. Use all these things, practicing exorcism. We don't have the power to walk around and cast out demons today. You want to get a devil out of a person, get them saved. Because the Satan works as the spirit in the children of this world. They're blinded. They're lost. The way you get someone, get God in that person, is get them saved. The Holy Spirit will indwell them. So you deal with a person on that basis. But people who are walking around casting out devils, sounds like a good thing. Jesus Christ said they're workers of iniquity. Because they're not doing that. They're not doing it in His name. He never knew them. And they're not really casting out devils. They're just saying they are. And then wonderful works. Wow. We think people who do wonderful works are wonderful people. Jesus Christ said, you're not wonderful people, you're workers of iniquity. You're doing wonderful works in my name that I'm not doing. You're doing whatever it is that you want to do. And you got people mesmerized by what you're doing and thinking you're so wonderful. The reason I read verse 3 is Paul eventually, after he get done warning us, the warning, he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Workers of iniquity have all kinds of confidence. Look at what we're doing. And Jesus Christ says, that's iniquity. Now there's a warning there that means that those things that you see going on, you better have a different attitude about them. If the warning of Philippians chapter 3 means anything to you, if you just think that God just wanted to give you a real quick warning and it's not a real thing that you can see every day, but it is a real thing that you can see every day. Both Greg and Leon were talking about a show that was on past week or so where ministers that are on TV all the time, I know Kenneth Copeland was named and Benny Hinn was named, Copeland having his own airport at his house, how huge his house is, lost people asking him, aren't you taking money from poor people to have all these things? And him to say, I'm living the way the scriptures tell me to live. And that he's consistent. Now, you don't think there's iniquity going on somewhere? Look at a couple of verses. Look at these warnings in scripture. Isaiah 32. I came across this. I can't even remember. It was something else. And I never noticed the verse before. Go to Isaiah 32. Verse 6. Now, Isaiah 32 talks about the Lord coming and reigning in righteousness. But when he does, the evil person is going to be taken away. And it takes it right in verses 6 and 7, actually begins in verse 5. But it begins to talk about that evil, the vile person, as it says. Verse 6. It says, the vile person will speak villainy, like a villain, extreme depravity, wickedness, seducer. That's what he is. It says, the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. Boy. A seducer, robbing people, just a thirsty soul. There's people out there who want to know how to be saved and what God would have them for them in the age of grace. And a seducer comes along and gives them false promises, false hope, a false gospel message. And the soul of the hungry go hunger. They still hunger for it. They're not filled. Take the drink away from the thirsty and cause it to fail. Verse 7 says, the instruments also of the churl are evil. That is, the ill-bred person who's stingy. He devises wicked devices to destroy the poor, and lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. There's men out there that are evil workers, not serving the Lord whatsoever, but have an appearance. Satan is the great counterfeiter. Everything that Jesus Christ does, when he said from the very beginning, I want to be like the Most High, Satan counterfeits everything that God does. So he'll look like a holy person, but he's an evil worker. When I say he, come over, take the warning of 2 Corinthians here, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This one, hopefully you're familiar with this passage. Paul certainly warned you about this. By the way, while you're turning there's another verse I found. Let me read this verse in Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. I think of that verse where the Lord warned about men. Well, Paul warned in the Age of Grace about evil men who come in and lead silly women captive by coming in and stealing from them. The passage in Matthew talks about how men will come in and for long prayers make a pretense. And it has to do with widows and stealing the inheritance away from them. They've lost a husband and they're in mourning, and a religious man comes in and takes them while they're in that state of mind. Here in 2 Corinthians 11, evil workers, Paul was fearful, he says in verse 3. He says, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." Now Paul preached Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, meaning Jesus Christ, God's purpose in Christ for the age of grace. God has a purpose in Christ for the nation of Israel, setting up a kingdom. So someone could come along and preach the Lord Jesus Christ and preach him incorrectly to you. They could preach Jesus Christ according to prophecy, not Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul was afraid that someone would come in and preach another Jesus whom we have not preached. Or if you receive another spirit, a whole different doctrinal truth than the message of grace that Paul has for us, that God gave to us through Paul, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Someone preach a false gospel message. Paul's afraid that someone would come in and just as subtly if Satan deceived Eve, that they would take Christ away from you, take the message of grace away from you, take the truth of the gospel away. And if he takes it away before you ever believed it, you never got saved and you're lost. He explains down in verse 13, he says, "And such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." By the way, there's no more apostles today. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. They laid the foundation of the age of grace. The foundation was laid in their day. God's building on that now. You don't lay a foundation forever. You build, lay the foundation and then you move on. So there is no apostle. Someone walks around calling themselves apostle, well, he's one of those deceitful workers, according to that verse 13 there. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing." We think it's something. Oh, someone says they did a miracle. That is no great thing. Even if they did a miracle, if they're not speaking the truth of God, "therefore it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think of me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little." Now Paul says, I got to brag a little bit. You guys are following these false teachers. And they're doing that because they're saying they're really somebody. Paul says, you know, I got to tell you who I am. And I'm not bragging to boast of myself, but I got to brag enough to make you remember I'm the apostle of the Gentiles. So he talks about himself. But notice when he talks about himself, here's what he says, verse 17. Now it talks about they do those things. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. Now I'm not going to get into Paul what he's going to brag about how he suffered for the gospel's sake. Because it's all the opposite. These men didn't suffer for the gospel's sake. They stole from the people. But notice what a person, if they don't heed the warning, beware of evil workers, look what the evil worker will do to you. Paul said to the Corinthians, these guys are doing it to you and you suffer it gladly. For verse 19, "For ye suffer fools gladly." I'm happy to suffer this. Look what they're suffering. "For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage. If a man devour you." There's the dogs, huh? "If a man take of you. If a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak concerning reproach as though we had been weak, where, howbeit, wherein any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. And then Paul didn't do any of those things. He liberated people. He gave himself to get the gospel out. He put his life in jeopardy so that people could be free. But look at the things that he says you allow religious man to come along and do to you. You suffer if a man put you into bondage. Can't do this, can't do that, can't go there, can't just tell you how to live your life. I've heard ministers tell you who you can marry and who you can't marry. And I'm not talking about reading the scriptures and telling you you need to marry in the Lord. I'm talking about actually choose your wife for you. And people do it all the time. They let a person, so they put you into bondage. I mean, that's, I don't want to call marriage bondage, is it? How I got into that illustration, I don't know. I'm just telling you, tell you what to do. Bad illustration. Now you can get mad at me. That one's mine. If a man devour you, I mean, take of you. How many religious men just robbing people of their money? Yeah. If a man exalt himself, what makes you so big? Well, I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet of God. Oh, yeah? Where's your credentials? I don't have to have credentials. I'm self-made man. I made myself an apostle. A man just put himself up in the air as some big person, and people say, oh, let's Dr. So-and-so. Just self. I was saying in Sunday school, pride is the number one of church problem of church leaders. If a man smite you on the face, they would just take it. They gladly bear it. Religious men do these kind of things. This is the workers of iniquity. Satan's men out there to deceive. Well, you get the point of all that, that Satan is alive and well, and he's in the religious world out there, and he's counterfeiting the things that are God, that God is doing, and he's enslaving people in the process. Satan's behind it all. It's happening before our eyes. And the Bible's warning you, beware of evil workers. You know the other part about that? Those people motivated by Satan are working. They're not just evil. They're evil workers. They're promoting their agenda. They're promoting their programs. They're promoting their lie. And they're reaching out and deceiving more and more people. Not only do we need to be aware of evil workers, we better be aware that evil workers are working, and we better work twice as hard as them to make sure the truth is out there. Because that's really, when you think about it, you know, we get here, I give you the warning, and we're going to heed the warning. But if we don't go out there and do the work of the ministry as ambassadors for Jesus Christ in the world that we're living in, then we're heeding the warning. They're not getting us. They're just getting everybody else. So that we need to get the message out. We need to get the word out. We need to be busy doing the Lord's work, because there's people out there busy doing Satan's work. Now, the other one, it says, beware of the concision. If you're back in Philippians chapter 3. The concision. That's an interesting word. If you look at Philippians 3, you get an idea what he's talking about, because after he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, he says, for we are the circumcision. Well, you can almost see the word concision in the word circumcision, and you can understand why he's making a contrast from verse 2 to break out into verse 3. See, concision then is connected in this sense, that concision means cutters, if you use the noun form of it. And he's talking about evil work. He's talking about the people themselves. So when it says the concision, we're talking about the cutters. The cutters. Well, concision actually means those who cut down or cut off. Those who mutilate. Castrate is one of the terms. Or, what's the term when you cut your arm off? Amputation. I knew it was in there somewhere. Cutters. Someone who cuts, amputates. that more of the mutilate. See the word circumcision, you see the word CIR before you get concision. That means cut around. Circumcision is a surgical process where they cut around the dead skin and remove it. And so circumcision is to cut around. And circumcision is that operation that was given to the nation of Israel to identify, to give them an identity as God's people in the earth. Abraham was given the covenant of circumcision, and the Jews were circumcised. But when Paul says, beware of the concision, he's actually referring to those Jewish people who are out to cut you off and mutilate your doctrine. Paul is actually speaking in contempt against, he actually speaks in disdain against what we call them Judaizer. He calls them the concision. He's talking about Jewish religion that are out to put the Gentiles back under their program and make you think that through circumcision you can be one of them, or if you're in uncircumcision you need to be under them. Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, he talks about the Jews in their religion. He was a Jew in their religion, so he knows something about it. But he speaks about them in a bad way. In Galatians chapter 1, he says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul's warning that if someone comes along and preaches another message other than the gospel of the uncircumcision that Paul gave to us Gentiles today, that God saves us as Gentiles, not through Israel. He says, if someone preaches any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. Now, that's beware of the concision. Now, when Paul warns about them, you need to understand, Paul has good reason to warn against them. If we would have read on in 2 Corinthians and he talked about all the things he suffered there, one of the places he's going to say, he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. The concision, the Jewish people who did not like Paul going out to preach to the Gentiles, had Paul five different times, had him whipped 39 times. They always did 39. If you go over 40, then the Roman one applying the punishment has to bear the same stripes. So just to make sure they don't go over, they stopped at 39. Five different times, those Jews that he's warning you about for preaching the gospel to us Gentiles had him whipped that way. So when he says, let him be accursed, he knows what he's up against. They didn't receive even the gospel of the kingdom. And now that there's the gospel, the grace of God for us Gentiles, they're against that and hounding Paul down, stopping him from going to the Gentiles. Over here in chapter 5, today's a day we celebrate liberty. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Now, we're not talking about Satan, evil worker. We're not talking about the Gentile imagination. Now, we're talking about Jewish workers who are actually trying to take the Gentiles and put them back under the law, back under circumcision, back under the prophetic program in order to exalt themselves above the Gentiles. So, Paul is telling us Gentiles that we're to stand fast in the liberty. We've been liberated, set free by the gospel. Paul, look, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you. If you haven't learned rightly divide your Bible, you have no idea what that means. What do you care if Paul said it or somebody else said it? Well, Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. He's got God's word to us Gentiles. That's why he said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. In the Jewish program, when God was dealing with the nation of Israel, circumcision meant much. You couldn't be a part of their program apart from circumcision. It said, Abraham had said, all of your descendants must needs be circumcised. And then when you were the circumcision, you had the advantages over the Gentiles. But now in grace, God has turned to us Gentiles just the way we were. Jesus Christ died, paid for all of our sins as Gentiles, that he might reconcile us unto God by his blood. Amen. And Paul says, now I'm telling you, if you get circumcised, God's not going to profit you a thing. Because God's not dealing in that today. That was Israel's program. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. When Paul sent Timothy back to Ephesus, it was to teach them and to teach no other doctrine because they were trying to put people back under genealogy and the law. Where do you study genealogy and the law in your Bible? Israel's program. Read Chronicles. Read Matthew, Luke, chapter 3, the genealogies leading up to Christ. There's even when you get to Revelation, the 12 tribes that are going to, the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, genealogy is important. Age of grace, God's turned to everybody, don't matter what nationality you are. Genealogy means nothing. Circumcision means nothing. So if you're going to go back to that, you're going to put yourself under the law. Now you're back into bondage. Christ is become of no effect unto you. The liberty that we have in Christ has no effect in your life. Whosoever you are, justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. Now, fallen from grace doesn't mean you're a lost person. You're told to stand fast in the liberty because someone's going to come along and try to put you back under Jewish law and Jewish program, and then Christ in your life is no longer going to be effective because Christ is not working in you that way today. And rather than grace motivating and directing your life, you're going to fall from all that. You're going to let law do all that, and it won't be God working in you. That when it says fallen from grace, grace works in the believer today. And if you go under the law, it won't work in you. And Christ will have no effect on you. Now, if you try to get saved that way, you won't even be saved. But he's talking about believers who are saved, telling them to stand in the liberty so that you don't fall from grace. Grace will work. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. Grace teaches you that. Law doesn't teach you that. Law tells you you should, but don't give you any power to do it. Grace motivates you to do it. And if you go back under the law, you'll go under that weak and beggarly, and you'll never fulfill it. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. But for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Now remember, Paul has a disdain for the concision, Jews that take the Gentiles, try to put them back under Jewish doctrine. When he says, who did that? Paul knows who did it. He says in chapter 3, who bewitched you? Calls them witches. Called them a curse in chapter 1. Watch, keep following. This persuasion cometh not from him that calleth you. This is not coming from God. This is coming from a false teacher here. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You can't even go back in Israel's program a little bit. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you, there's that group, that's a people, shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the cross of Christ ceased. See, he doesn't preach circumcision. Somebody else is preaching circumcision, not Paul. Verse 12, I would they were even cut off, concision, which trouble you. If he's talking about circumcision, he's talking about cutting off. Paul's talking about these people who are trying to take the Gentiles, Jews. He warns about them in Timothy, he warns about them in Titus. I've got to bring this to a conclusion. He says, beware of dogs, Gentile, idolatrous religious system that is out there to devour you. Beware of evil workers, Satan looking just like it's the truth of God, but it's the lie of Satan. Satan's policy of evil working among us. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now you got the Jews who are trying to get the Gentiles back under the old program. Realize, Gentiles just imagine their own religion. Do the Jews have scriptures to prove their point? Yeah, see, the concision, they're trying to put you back under Jewish economy. What the warning when it says beware of the concision, you're talking about church preachers who aren't rightly dividing the word of truth, mixing law and grace, and putting you back under the law, and having, they have a Bible that they can do that with. But because they're not rightly dividing the word of truth, they're not separating Israel's program and what God has for Israel from what God has for you in grace, which is the most dangerous of all those doctrines? Well, certainly evil workers are dangerous, but they're always out there. But the one that looks the most true because they actually use the truth of God's word but don't rightly divide the word of truth has got to be the most dangerous of them all. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. So with that warning, Paul will take us into verse 3, remind us who we are and what we do, and we'll pick up on that next week. If you're not saved, and all that talk about circumcision and all, let me tell you, you're not saved by keeping the law. You're not saved by any religious ceremony at all. You're saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Salvation is yours because Jesus Christ died on the cross and totally paid for all of your sins. And because it's all paid for, God today in His grace is offering salvation to all men, not just Jews, but all men of all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. Salvation as a free gift by believing that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins on the cross. And when you trust what Jesus Christ did, God gives you eternal life as a free gift, seals you with the Holy Spirit, you belong to Him forever. Amen. What God's waiting for you to do is to receive His grace by trusting in His Son. And you're saved by grace through faith alone in the work that Jesus Christ did, because He did it all. There's nothing left for you to do but to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our Father, we thank You for such wonderful truth. We realize there's all kinds of religious deception out there and filters in all different ways. But Father, help us to not only receive the truth out of Your word, but receive the warnings that the way, different counterfeits, the way they come at us, so that we will not be poisoned, deceived, devoured, or brought into bondage by all these different means where evil workers are actively working among in the world today. So Father, thank You for the truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.